All right, welcome to the after show, Fritz Bergen, BloodandFaith.com. It is Sunday, the 27th of August, 2023. And every once in a while, one of the after shows is one of my chances to talk about things that are less theological, but I can never quite totally do that because the thing that interests me the most is always the Word of God. It's always a Holy Bible. It is the map and compass for human society. I don't care if you're a Christian or not. I don't care if you're a Christian or not. I don't care if you're a Jew or an atheist or a Mormon or a Muslim or whatever you are. It's the eternal map and compass for all of human society. That's why it's the most important thing. And that's why Satan has gone after it. That's why Satan has driven the Holy Scriptures out of public schools in the United States. We're going to have a Christian nation. All education must be based upon the Holy Scripture. You say math too? Yeah, I don't know how it works, but it's KKK. If people don't have an understanding of a, let's call it a biblical worldview, this world is lost. We're not going to get there. We're not going to make progress. And I talk a lot about a specific point that's made very strongly in the Holy Scripture, and that is regarding the people who implement and promote the devil's interests, and in return they're paid very handsomely. Let me give you a specific example. A guy named Fink, he's chairman of the board of BlackRock. He's the head of BlackRock, and BlackRock's come out and he said very clearly. He said, "Listen, we have ways to force outcomes." People say, "Well, what outcomes are you looking for?" And he mentioned certain social projects such as the diversity, equity, and inclusion. And what those all end up being is perversions of things that are good. And they do that. And there is a very strong anti-white racial agenda that the Jews push. Always have, always will. That's why they're for open borders in Europe, in the United States, in Australia, but not for Israel. It's also an anti-Christ agenda. Who pushes for excluding the Holy Scriptures from government schools forever? The ACLU and other Jewish organizations? They're not for civil liberties. It's an anti-white and anti-Christ agenda. I mentioned this morning about the Frankfurt School, and that was a group of Jews who invented something called critical theory, and you've heard about critical race theory. Well, that's the Jews. That's the Jews doing that. This shouldn't surprise the Christian, but the Christian has been duped. They've been duped by their own yearning and their own desire to be friends with the world. That's what they've been duped by. You have people running around calling them Beelzebul, and they're terrified of being called Beelzebul. Oh, excuse me, they're being called racist or anti-Semitic, and they're terrified of that. Say, I don't want to be called a racist. I don't want to be called anti-Semitic. What should I say or not say in order not to be called those names? They don't want to be called the equivalent of Beelzebul. Now, Jesus warned us. He warned us. He said, look, if they call me Beelzebul, how much more are they going to call you that? And for some reason, the church won't recognize this. And we've built up these ideas that you can't be racist or sexist or loyal to your race, at least loyal to the white race. Can't be anti-Semitic. And all these are falsehoods. All these are ideas that have to get flushed down the toilet if you're going to build a righteous and Christian civilization. And of course, that's what they come out and they say that about me. I'm racist and anti-Semitic and all this other stuff. But you've got to expect that. And if you're not being called that, my question to you is, there's something wrong. Jesus was very clear. He was very clear. He says, look, if you're going to follow me, you're going to pick up a cross. And if they call me Beelzebul, how much more are they going to call you? And if the world loves you, man, let me tell you something. If the world loves you, the Jews love you, you got a problem. All right, Civil War. Where are we at with the Civil War? Well, we went through 2 years of lockdowns with masks and forced injections that kill people. I'm not going to prove it to you. I'm not going to argue to you. There's all kinds of good, solid information about there. Even Robert F. Kennedy talks about this stuff. The poisons, they are mandating that we inject into our bodies and the bodies of our children. They're destroying the human body. They're destroying lives. How do we know that? There's a control group called the Amish. Mennonites might be in there too, but the Amish are control group. They've got none of these diseases that everybody says you're going to get if you don't get injected. They don't get anything. They don't get tetanus. You don't think they work in the fields with their hands? You don't think they work with saws and axes and nails? They don't get any of these things. They don't get diphtheria shots. They don't get flu shots. They don't get COVID shots. And their health is vastly superior to that of the average American. Now, also, it's true that they probably eat healthy and stay off the internet and get lots of exercise. But we're going back into, apparently from the news reports I've read, back into the mandates for masks, mandates for boosters. We're not having anything to do with that. I won't have anything to do with that. I will speak out against that. Previously, I applied to my employer for an exemption from the COVID situation, and I don't know why they granted it to me, but they granted me an exemption from it. I wouldn't have got it anyway. I mean, I would not have gotten it anyway. I wasn't waiting for their permission. I'm not going to get it. What's this going to look like this time? Is this setting this up for another fraudulent election in 2024? It's late 2023 already. We're halfway through the year. We're almost to the end of summer. I guess we got a month to go. I guess we don't want to be too quick on that. But it's cooling off outside. It's glorious. It's beautiful outside. Are they building up for another mass vaccination program? Another mask program to drive people out of their jobs, out of the workplace? Another massive vote remotely program so they can stuff the ballot box and make sure Trump won't win. Now, people have their issues with Donald Trump. I've got a few issues with him myself. But he's the only person that can offer any political opposition to the people that have captured our government. He's the only one out there. None of the Republicans can or will. None of the Democrats can or will. They're all part of the problem. Medvedev, Russian leader, said, hey, U.S. is looking at potentially a civil war. I didn't say that. He said that. I'd remind people that it's already gotten violent in the United States. When Antifa and BLM can burn down cities, that's violence. That's already violence. When the federal government tracks down political opposition, that's violent. Get handcuffed and thrown into jail for years on end, that's violence. And when the federal government has, if you've seen Lady Justice, and she's got a set of scales in her hand, and she's blindfolded, she's, listen, I'm just weighing out justice. We don't have that in the United States. If the Antifa guy burns down and invades government property, no, we let him off. Let him off. Let him do whatever. We're not going to prosecute that. But a MAGA guy does that, he doesn't have to do that. All he has to do is trespass in the people's house. All he has to do is walk onto public property in jail for years, decades. Trump's looking at 707 centuries, not 7 decades, 7 centuries in jail. Police shooting the people who are shooting people dead, shooting them dead. The federal government has already pursued a program of shooting people dead that they don't like. So the violence is already there. Hasn't been the violence of the right. Hasn't been the violence of the Christian forces. It has not been. Will it go to that? I've always said I'm really bad at predicting things. But here I'm not even predicting. I'm just saying it's already gone to a violent level. It's already gone to a violent level in the United States of America. Okay, they're killing people have different political views that have not done anything to anybody. Ashley Babbitt didn't lay a hand on anybody, and she was shot to death. And the cop who shot her is protected, completely protected. You can look at many of these cases. How about war with Russia? I've talked about war with Russia before. I'll talk about it again. The United States is in a war with Russia. People don't even pretend that it's not a war with Russia anymore. It used to be a wink, wink, nod, nod. We're helping the, we're just going to send a couple bullets to the Ukrainians, give them a little bit of money to help them out with their little situation over there. People don't even pretend anymore. Yeah, I mean, the Americans don't even pretend. We're at war with Russia. The United States is at war with Russia. How do you say we're not? NATO's sending F-16s there now. The United States is training pilots. Billions of dollars go over there, and a certain percentage is filtered back to politicians on both sides of the political aisle. Lahaina burns down, and the president doesn't care. He's worried about his 1967 Corvette. You got a guy in the White House that nobody believes he's in charge. He wanders around looking for his next little ice cream thing, and he lies through his teeth like it's water. How does this end with Russia? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But things tend to get out of control. What's the future hold on that? We will find out. But we're already in a war with Russia. Okay, I don't have to say it's coming. I think it's safe to say it's here. I don't think we have to say a civil war is coming. I think it's safe to say it's already here. It's only one side is kinetically involved. And so they want to get mad at the white people or the Christian people. Again, the Jews are the greatest hypocrites that ever lived. They will foment this. They will do the violence and then claim the other side is doing the violence. It's already there. So what does that mean for you and me? Well, I am participating in the civil struggle. Let's call it a struggle. I am a participant in the civil struggle. How am I participating? I open up my mouth and speak. The greatest battle I think we have right now is recruiting people to our side. And I think the greatest target audience of recruitment has to be Christians. Has to be the Christian church. It has to be the pastors. There are too many pastors, too many Christians that have been tutored in submission. Tutored in submission. And they have all the reasons. They get all the scriptures lined up. Obey the civil authorities. And then they make stuff up like the Jews are God's chosen people, and they're not. So I'm out there battling that. I'm doing what I can to undermine Satan's narrative. You ought to too. And I know of people that have started podcasts and started speaking up and saying things, which is fabulous. That's the way it ought to be. If you have to have the courage of your convictions to speak your piece before anything else happens. So these are good things that are happening. I'm going to continue to do this. I will continue opening my mouth and speaking my piece. And I'd love for the church to come around to my point of view on these few critical issues. If you can't identify your enemy, you can't win the war. If you're told to go fight in a battle, but you have to go in blindfolded and not really have any idea who the enemy is, you're going to lose. That's where the church is at right now. We're told that you cannot touch the enemy. You cannot identify the enemy. You cannot speak evil of the enemy. You can't even mention the enemy. You can't even mention the enemy. Otherwise, it's anti-Semitic. Well, there's something wrong with your theology if you can't mention that the devil has children, that the devil has a synagogue, and the devil has his chosen people, that he has given with the power that he has to give him the power over the nations of the world. And we're told by the church, you can't touch him. I call that treason. I call that treason to side with the enemies of Jesus Christ. If you side with the Jews, that's treason against Jesus Christ. I know. You've never heard this before. Martin Luther said essentially the same thing. There's nothing new about this. Oh, guess what? So did Stephen. I talked about that this morning. He looks at the Jews. He says, y'all are the enemy. Y'all are the enemy. You're the same people, come from the same folk that murdered the prophets and murdered the announcing of Jesus Christ and murdered Jesus Christ. Church won't do that anymore. Won't do that. Won't say what Stephen said. Paul, the evil Jew, and he admits it. He says, I was a worse sinner than anybody else. He finally repents. And immediately he says, hey, Jesus Christ is literally the Son of God. Now, that is a political statement. And the church has gone along with the idea that, that we need to reduce Jesus Christ to some sort of a personal talisman. I believe in my heart in Jesus. And leave it at that. No, he's the monarch. He's the monarch of heaven and earth. He's the king of the nations. And we're going to do the Great Commission. The Great Commission is not about getting you to believe something between your ears, above your tongue, and below your skullcap. It's to bring discipline to the nations, to make the way smooth, make the hills level and bring the valleys up. Prepare the way of the Lord. That's our job. It's to discipline, bring discipline to the nations. The judgment day, the Almighty will gather the nations. He'll divide them. Some on his right, some on his left. It's not just a personal salvation. It's judgment of nations and ethnic groups and races. How does God do that? I don't know. But he talks about that. He certainly judged the nation of Israel, didn't he? The ancient nation, not this modern abomination. Any nation founded on the rejection of Jesus Christ is an abomination. Sorry. Goat nations are going to be divided out and they're going to end up in the pit. Look at all the European nations. They all have Christian flags on them. Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Finland, Scotland, Iceland. Historically, so have many of the other European nations, including Russia. You're going to put a demon star on your flag? Call yourself God's chosen people? So as far as I'm concerned, we're still very much in the stage of recruitment. And oh, how I'd love this message to ring from the pulpits. I got news for you, folks. Let's go back to the scriptures. And mind you, the scriptures are political statements. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, no one deceive you in any way, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself of every god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. All right, now, many Christians take that as being, oh, that's the Antichrist. That's this dude, the handsome dude in a nice suit, couple little horns coming out of his head. And I'm like, is this not secular atheistic man that began to arise in the 1700s with the French Revolution out of the heart of Christian Europe? I would consider that. And I've said many times, you're looking for this dude in the nice suit. You can spell his name 666. Is not 666 a type of corporate man? If six is the number of man and triple sixes is a corporate man? And then the next question is this. If you can't oppose the Antichrist in front of you, how are you going to oppose the Antichrist that's coming? If you can't oppose the Antichrist in front of you, whether it's the Antichrist Jews, the Antichrist secular global order, the Antichrist Babel that's been established in the world already, and they're trying to build that, the New World Order, call it what you will. If you can't oppose that Antichrist, why do you think you're going to all of a sudden get brave and rise up and oppose some Antichrist that you can identify as some man? What makes you think you're going to all of a sudden get brave? If you can't oppose the Antichrist that's in front of you today, Pastor, if you can't stand by the words of Jesus Christ today, calling the Jews the devil's children, what makes you think you're going to suddenly be so brave if this theoretical Antichrist shows up someday? If you can't stand by what Jesus Christ said today, that's my question. I won't even argue that some man that's the handsome devil in the nice suit's not come. I don't even want to. Why even bother arguing that? I won't argue that either way. I'm saying the Antichrist has already been here, and you won't stand up against the Antichrist, and you won't stand for what the words of Jesus Christ said. You won't say, "Hey, there's a synagogue of Satan out there, and it's called the people that call themselves Jews literally are the synagogue of Satan, and they're the devil's children." You won't say that today. What do you think you're going to do when this theoretical Antichrist shows up? Nothing. You will do nothing because you're doing nothing now. First Timothy 4. But the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and the doctrines of demons. As far as I'm concerned, this has been going on in Christian Europe for 300 years. European man, Christian man, white man, Christian man has been falling away from the faith for 300 years. And you look at the news, you got these pastors renouncing their faith, even today. By means of the hypocrisy of liars seared on their own conscience with a branding iron. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. All who desire to live godly in Christ will be persecuted. Okay, all who desire to live godly in Christ will be persecuted. Are you being persecuted? If not, why not? Do you not desire to live godly? If you desire to be godly, are you being persecuted? Do the Jews love you or hate you? I hope they never take the article down that I refer to in Jerusalem Post. It talks about the New Testament being anti-Semitic. I hope they never take that down. That's absolute evidence that everything I've said is true. Evidence by the Jews, written by the Jews. It's proof and evidence that everything I'm telling you is true about the Holy Scriptures being fundamentally, irrevocably anti-Jewish. They witness themselves against you, Christian. They say, look, this is what their word says. But they're doing what we did. They've abandoned what is written. You want a little persecution? Go out and say what Jesus Christ said. Go out and say what Stephen. This morning I read through the sermon of Stephen, the first martyr. Read through the sermon of the first martyr. And they murdered him. You want a little opposition? Go say what Stephen said. Nothing's changed, guys. The cast of characters has not changed. The Bible is eternal. The book of Acts, many people, how many times in your life have you heard that the book of Acts is still being written? Where are you? Where are you, pastor? Where are you, preacher? Are you trying to make friends with the world? Don't you know that friendship with the world is treason against Jesus Christ? Don't you know that friendship with the Jews is treason against Jesus Christ? Don't you know that the biblical definition of treason is siding with the Jews? Don't you know that when you do that, you join the fraternity of Judas Iscariot, of men called and chosen by God to preach the gospel, personal relationships with Jesus Christ, healing the sick, casting out devils. They side with the Jews and thereby join the fraternity of Judas Iscariot. Somehow, someday, this is going to sink in. James 4, verse 2, you adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? You want to be friends with the world? You're hostile to God. Friends with the Jews, you're hostile to Jesus Christ. Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. All right? Fourth chapter of the book of James. 1 Peter 4. Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree this is, to the degree that you share in the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exaltation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you're blessed, because the Spirit of the glory of God rests upon you. And it's funny, we've almost made it a Christian virtue to have the world love us. And you can pick out scriptures on this stuff. Oh, they were held in great esteem by the world. Book of Acts says, yeah, they were. They were great fear. But they weren't making friends with the Antichrist. They weren't embracing the Antichrist. They weren't telling the Antichrist, the corporate Antichrist, that they're the chosen people of God. Stephen comes right out. He said, y'all are guilty of the murder of Jesus Christ. Says it to their faces. Oh, yeah, you're going to get press coverage. You're not going to like that. Probably have demonstrations in front of your church if you preach the same sermon that Stephen preached. I mean, you can be saved. You can read it word for word and go read what Paul says. I cover this a lot here at bloodandfaith.com. You get all kinds of press for your church. Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, okay? Be surprised if you don't have a fiery ordeal. You got these mega churches. I read about these mega churches down in Texas. You know which ones. They're the same ones. They're always in the news. Tens of thousands, 40,000 people showing up to a service. You think they got any fiery ordeals going on? No, they don't. Because they're traitors to Jesus Christ. They've made friends with the world. Satan leaves them alone. You build that church. I heard a sermon by one of these guys 6 or 7 years ago. I was sitting in Iraq. I was in Iraq for a year. They had a Christian service run by the Filipinos, which is wonderful. It's all good. It's all no criticism. But man, they like to bang those drums loud, make a lot of noise, and get those steel guitars going. And maybe I'm just got to be too old for manness. I can't take that. So I said, well, let me turn on some Christian Bible TV that had the American Forces channels on. Turned on some guy. I didn't know who he was. No idea who he was. I think his name not now. I think his name's Joel Osteen. I listened to this guy, and I was like, what God does he serve? What God is this guy serving? His sermon had, I had no idea who he was talking about. So, okay, oh my God. This, I'm sorry. Some people don't like it when I say that, so I'll try to. Oh my goodness. What is this guy preaching? What message is he preaching? He doesn't talk about the death of Jesus Christ at the hands of the Jews. He doesn't talk about his resurrection. He's got all this flowery nonsense out there. 40,000 people go to his church. Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you. Ain't no fiery ordeal going on in there. You got to wonder about that. If you don't have a fiery ordeal going on, you need to wonder what's going on in your own life and in your own church. First Peter 5:10. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. All right, if you're not going through the stuff, are you okay? Are you spiritually okay? Maybe that's the wrong word. Are you friends with the world? Does the world love you? Does the world approve of you? Oh, he's a good Christian. You have good Christian values. You love thine enemies. You know, I can love my enemies, but I can hate the enemies of Jesus Christ. I hate the enemies of Jesus Christ. Oh, you're not a good Christian. Oh, no. I am a good Christian. What is it? David said, oh, Lord, oh, my God, do I not hate those that hate thee? Who is he talking to? Who's the psalmist talking to? He's talking to and about Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, do I not hate those who hate Jesus Christ? I can still be like Stephen and say, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they do. I don't know if I'm there on that one. I pray to my God for my own race. I pray to God for my own race. I'm sure that's controversial too. I pray for the white race. God have mercy on my people. God have mercy on them. They don't know what they do. Just like Stephen prayed for his race. Do I love the Jews? No, and they don't love me. They hate me. Oh, but God loves you. They're not God's children. They're the devil's children. Oh, that's anti-Semitic. I don't care. If Jesus Christ is anti-Semitic, why aren't you, Pastor? All right, that's it. Fritz Berger, BloodandFaith.com.